George, I want you to write a serious concert piece based on the blues.
As often happens with people from faraway places, composer Lalo Schifrin's first glimpse of America was in the movies.
Blues themes and jazz rhythms? Of course, a rhapsody in blues.
He was a child growing up in Buenos Aires.
I was very young at that time, maybe 12 or 13 years old, and we went to see the movie Rhapsody in Blue with my mother and my father, and I really liked it.
Rhapsody in Blue was the 1945 Hollywoodized version of the life of George Gershwin, and it was the music, even more than the movie, that floored young Lalo.
In Rhapsody in Blue, he uses the blue notes. It was fantastic. I didn't know anything about Gershwin. I went right away to a bookstore that sold American scores, and I bought it, and I learned it.
Next thing you know, he'd mastered it.
And as a matter of fact, I played it. I played it in Buenos Aires with symphony orchestra, and it was very good. And then the next year, I played a concerto in F.
You could say this was the beginning of a lifetime, Lalo Schifrin's lifetime, of falling in love with, pursuing, influencing, embracing the American sound. A few years later, when Louis Armstrong came to perform in Buenos Aires, that clinched it.
Well, it was like I became converted. It was like a religious conversion because I came from a classical background. My father was a concertmaster of the Buenos Aires Philharmonic. My first piano teacher was Enrique Barenboim, who was the father of Daniel Barenboim. So I didn't know anything about jazz.
His awakening continued through high school.
Of course, when I discovered modern American jazz, I converted to that. So Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Bud Powell, George Shearing, all the great players of that school. I remember the first time I heard a Charlie Parker record, it was Billy's Bounce. I was very moved by it.
By the time Dizzy Gillespie came to Buenos Aires as part of a 1956 State Department tour, Lalo Schifrin was in his 20s, and he'd formed his own big band. He'd swallowed the sound whole, and he was asked to play for the great Dizzy Gillespie. Dizzy heard Schifrin and asked him what was by then the obvious question.
He said, "Would you like to come to the United States?" I thought he was joking, but here I am. The handshake of Dizzy was better than any contract that you can sign with lawyers or anything. He said that, and I came.
Schifrin spent the early 60s playing and touring with Dizzy Gillespie's band. This is Schifrin soloing at Carnegie Hall in 1961. And on tour in Paris with the band. And at the Museum of Modern Art in New York around that time. Through Dizzy, he met everyone and played everywhere.
I played with Coltrane, with Stan Getz. I did records with everybody. I mean, the greatest musicians of that era.
And that's all very nice, but none of this is what made Lalo Schifrin famous. What we know him for in this country is his work as a very North American composer of film and television scores. He blames that on his early boyhood, too.
I liked opera. My father introduced me when I was even a child to opera. I was fascinated by the idea of dramatic story that develops with music. I paid attention to Verdi, Puccini, Bizet.
Especially the Verdi Otello seemed to Schifrin to be just like movie music.
So that gave me the basis of becoming a film composer. Otello and all the others, Carmen and Tosca.
Although the composer hastens to add,
the movies I had to do were not Tosca.
The shows and movies Schifrin scored were indeed not Tosca. But somehow he took his European influences, classical music, opera, and so on, and wrapped them in his conversion to American jazz, and made something distinctively, popularly American. The Mission Impossible theme, for example, is still one of the most memorable, imitated, parodied, and beloved tunes in existence, as well as being one of the more inevitable sounding uses of 5/4 time, 5 beats to the measure.
This recording will decompose 1 minute after the breaking of the seal.
He went somewhere else again with the score to Norman Jewison's The Cincinnati Kid, about the battle between a junior and a senior poker player.
Patsy! This is Eric Stoner, The Cincinnati Kid.
Steve McQueen, the arrogant youngster to Edward G. Robinson's old hand.
They tell me you're quite a stud player, young man.
And there's the celebrated Cool Hand Luke music.
You remember what we got here is a failure to communicate.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
It became iconic. I learned a lot about bluegrass music because it happens in the South, in a southern prison during the Korean War.
Another movie, another American style. And another in the Amityville Horror. If Lalo Schifrin had his way, we'd be combining all these forms.
There's an imaginary world in which a street of Vienna intersects an avenue from New York. And in that corner, there is a tavern. And in the tavern, there is a piano. And there is Duke Ellington, Gustav Mahler, Ludwig van Beethoven, and Dizzy Gillespie. And they are exchanging ideas. A gigantic jam session takes place.
That gigantic fantasy jam session is pretty much what goes on in Lalo Schifrin's brain with every piece he writes. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.